Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is a podcast from the Smart Material Collective, made by nerds, funded by the listeners.
Alex, what have you seen this week made you feel certain emotions?
So for anyone that follows me on Twitter, you'll know that I don't fuck with Akon. You remember Akon, Mr. Lonely?
I'm so lonely.
Yes.
Look, he's in the studio. Oh, my.
No, okay.
No, that's James Franco.
No. So Akon, he was doing an interview with someone. And he was saying that, like, okay, so a thing that really gets me is, you know, there's like a large swathe of like anti-vax out there, you know, and, you know, a lot of people in science and stuff are always like, oh, you know, people that don't vaccinate, they're stupid, blah, blah, blah. And like, there are lots of reasons why people might not do it. You don't know their lives and whatever. But what really annoyed me here was What really annoyed me here was Akon. He was saying that, like, you know, the reason we shouldn't give people like injections, vaccinations, you know, it's all like the white man, you know, they're lying to us, this, that, and the other. If I'm allowed, I'll check laws. If I'm allowed to play it, I'll play it right here.
Exploited by outside.
How do we start this? How do we start to say, you know what? Let's invest back in the motherland.
I think the key is, you know, first of all, you got to release the fear, because a lot of, you know, African Americans are afraid to go to Africa.
I was offered so many shows to Africa. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, and then they told me I could get shots, and I was like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never actually been to Africa because I didn't want to get the shots. I didn't know they injecting shit in me. But I was scared. Mm-hmm. This is back in the day.
That's why I said you got to release the fear. You have to, because first of all, only white people need shots to go to Africa. Black people don't need no shots to go to Africa.
But why is that even a rumor that you need shots to go to Africa?
I mean, it's fear. The same way they told you AIDS started in Africa.
Wow.
You can die from malaria. They're telling you all this stuff. None of that stuff is real.
Wow.
You know, they tell you, you go to Africa, you got to take, you know, shots. And you got to take like 5 or 6 different, you know, types of shots to save you from this, save you from that, save you from this.
Why does that rumor even exist, though?
I mean, the hope, because they know the value of black people going back home. Can you just imagine if African Americans in America decided, you know what, man, fuck America, we going back home. And then all the value that we bring here, we took over there. America wouldn't exist no more.
Yeah, I think what really annoys me with Akon is like from that clip you heard, you shouldn't go to Akon for medical advice, because he has this, like, he's dressing up medical misinformation with pro-black sentiment, because this is a guy whose family is from like Senegal, which in 2015 had 4,417 deaths from malaria and a mortality rate for children under 5 of 45.4 for every 1,000. Consider, like, in the UK, it's like 3 in every 1,000.
Mm. Which is still worse than Singapore.
Okay, but yeah, you see that. And so, you know, telling people that, you do not need vaccinations because it's all a myth to try and control you and stuff.
That's awful.
And, you know, that while there is a very, very, very real issue where there's been like a very bad relationship between the medical complex and black people in the past. You know, talk about early experiments in gynecology. You know, talk about things like Henrietta Lacks and her, like the fact that, you know, cancer cells were taken from her that are still used today. You know, talking about the fact that even in hospitals today, black women are routinely seen as having like a higher pain threshold. And so when they say that they're feeling the most amount of pain, doctors don't take them seriously. There is a sense of like skepticism. That is very real. I understand all of that. That needs to be changed on an institutional level within like medicine. And it is linked to how the UK, like, I guess it's sort of like the UK and how it deals with race and stuff that all links in. That completely understand. It's complex, it's nuanced and shit. But at the same time, Akon, a man with a platform, okay, a guy who released that song Mr. Lonely and did nothing else, all right? And now he's saying these sorts of things. And like,
I feel like he could be using his platform, his immense privilege, to question and call out the medical industry for the things it's actually doing wrong, rather than saying
all of that,
ignore all this life-saving shit.
And I think it really annoys me because, you know, like, you're so removed from it now. You know, he's talking about you know, black people in America, you know, even, but even I know some people here in the UK, you know, second generation immigrants, you know, from the, like people from the African Caribbean diaspora here in the UK who perhaps are thinking about not vaccinating their kids. I'm there like, look, you have the choice not to. I feel as though you should, but, you know, everyone has that choice, even though I feel as though you definitely shouldn't, you know. Medical advice is that you definitely should if you are able to with your child. But, you know, certain communities in particular, you know, migrant communities and stuff, if you're taking your child back to, you know, the country that you hail from or your family hails from and stuff, like if you're taking a child back to Nigeria or to Ghana or to like India, Pakistan or whatever, where they might come across people who have, you know, diseases or people who haven't had, you know, haven't been vaccinated because the country's healthcare infrastructure hasn't allowed it, you know, you're putting your child at risk or you're putting those people at risk. And so I feel as though it's quite like, it's quite arrogant or it's quite short-sighted from the perspective there, because
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a conspiracy theory, isn't it? And what it is, you know, this motherfucker clearly was scared of getting like injections or some shit. You know what I mean? He's like, but it's a conspiracy theory. It's a simple way of looking at the world and making sense of it. And he's taking two different things that aren't interrelated and smashed together because in his little peanut brain, like, you know, it makes sense. But the reality is that's what conspiracy theory is, isn't it? It's a way people use to interpret a complicated world. And, you know, for him, maybe in his world, that makes sense. But, you know, it is quite a dangerous thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah, and I feel as though it's very easy for a lot of people to be like, oh, people who don't vaccinate kids are stupid. You know, that's a very black and white type thing. It is, like I said, it's grey, it's nuanced, there's lots of different reasons why, you know, skepticism, all that. But at the same time, yeah, like, you shouldn't be able to use this platform in that way. I mean, you can, but you shouldn't. I feel as though there should be, like, I don't know, people calling him out. I'm sure people have called him out and stuff, but when you see stuff like this, it's like, I feel as though it's a big deal and should be made a big deal by the media or whatever.
I think that is a good point. It's a good point. And, you know, like you said, it puts people's lives at risk, and then that's a big problem, isn't it?
Yeah, just within certain communities as well. Like, if you know, white people, I don't know where their family hails from. France, let's say, okay, like, I'm being facetious, but like, if you're, you know, Western European stuff, your family, chances are, from the UK or from a European country, a lot of them, like, statistically, are going to have really good healthcare infrastructure. It's not like you're going to have relatives coming over from a place there where healthcare infrastructure is terrible, where there aren't like really big like injection programs and stuff.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to that Flat Earth documentary. You guys haven't seen it, have you? Beyond the Curve. It's like this is very similar.
On Netflix?
Yeah, they're on Netflix. Yeah. Very similar in that. In the documentary, they don't take the mick out of these guys, but they actually try to understand them. And in fact, a lot of these guys who have these conspiracy theories are actually quite inquisitive people who haven't given the right tools to take that curiosity and apply it in an empirical way, you know. And funnily enough, in that documentary, they start to do that themselves, these flat earthers. They start to do their own experiments to prove these conspiracies. And in a way, like, you know, maybe Acorn is someone who...
So you should call him Acorn.
Is his name? What's his name?
That's Acorn.
Acorn, whatever, Acorn, yeah. maybe Walnut, yeah, like... Well.
I said Walnut!
Moving on.
Maybe Walnut is a scientist who wasn't given the right education.
But, like, I feel as though, you know, with lots of things, like, I feel as though it's really, really problematic to just say these people are stupid. Like, what I'd really love is to speak to someone and understand how they have got this, you know, people are clever, you know. I would like to understand how their life experiences have taken them to that choice.
I think it's also because when people have these beliefs, they seek the evidence that will then feed their belief, won't they? Because I've seen stuff like, it's not specifically on this piece that you brought up, but when people don't believe in vaccines, they will post stuff, say, on their social media, being like, here is this one study from 2011, and it's like a very isolated study. It could be published somewhere that's not even like peer-reviewed journal or whatever. It's not been reproduced. It's not been, like, no one's tried to disprove it. Like, do you know what I mean? It's not been rigorously scientifically tested. But because it's out there as a study that has been done and it, like, proves something very small, people latch onto it and be like, but look, there is evidence, even though it's not real evidence. Do you know what I mean?
One of the things you see a lot is, like, the ingredients list of, like, vaccines listed, like, in a way that is deliberately done to, like, elicit fear. And actually, you know, if you list, like, the chemical components of an apple in the same way, it's just as scary, you know, like, there's cyanide in it, for example. Like, and I think that thing that people will just seek out that evidence that confirms.
But I feel as though that's a very universal thing for me. It's that level of, like, cultural, like, well, on a cultural sociological perspective, that I'd really be interested in looking at. And I feel as though the four of us here, while we have, like, the background in it, like, culturally, I feel as though something we might not be able to address currently. So, like, if there is anyone listening who doesn't vaccinate their kids and is from an ethnic minority background, or knows of someone in their family or friends or whatever, and would like to, like, chat about it, like, really no judgment, whatever, just super interested in finding out, like, hit us up, please hit us up. Also, yeah, it actually really gets me, because I was born, like, three months premature, right? So, like, yeah, you wouldn't be able to tell because of how fucking baller I am right now.
Sure.
Like, literally two-thirds of the time, fucking made up for it anyway. Yeah, exactly. Fucking two. I started, all right, with two-thirds of the advantage, and now I'm fucking lapping people. Just putting that out there.
Were you born, like, 2 years early?
just putting that out
only
there.
Only two? I thought it was, like, five?
Yeah. People don't know. I'm the fucking best. No, I think that gets me because, like, you know, without modern medicine, I'd be dead. Or I'd have, like, severe learning difficulties, or, you know, I'd be in a wheelchair, like, you know, all these things. And so for someone now to be able to say, oh, I don't want to vaccinate my kid, or I don't want to, I don't have to do this, or, like, you know, it bugs me, especially people who have only, who have parents or family have come from another country and who are now here, who haven't seen firsthand the effects of vaccination, you know, or lack of vaccination in, you know, the place that their family has emigrated from. So, like, being Ghana, I've seen people, you know, who walk bow-legged, or people, you know, who have suffered, like measles, you know, issues from measles and stuff, and you see it's left them, you know, changed for life. Same thing with rubella and stuff, and you see people's, you know, kids dying from it and stuff. Like, not now, because, you know, vaccination, like, infrastructure in place, but, you know, in the past and stuff, and that's still fresh in people's memory and stuff. So the fact that people now have the choice and have the cognitive, like, dissonance, that distance to be able to not say, not sort of really see it as a real problem, that just gets me.
I haven't seen as much of the sort of anti-vaccine sentiment sort of in my cultural community, but what I do see a lot of is, like, anti-modern medicine and this idea that you shouldn't be taking medicine routinely, and that really gets to me, because I take six different medications a day and it keeps my lungs functioning. I am very glad that my lungs function most of the time. And, you know, again, it's that thing, if you look to countries where people don't have access to those medications, or they can't afford that medicine, and it's terrifying. And I think we need to remember that.
I think some of it is trying to understand, and you go back to the culture of it, what is the motive for people not you know, for having taking this position. And sometimes it can be business, like holistic medicines and stuff have a lot of, you know, it's a big business, isn't it? And but yeah, it is. I think a lot of it comes down to culture and how people think about us and medicine, and you know, because science and medicine is seen as, can be seen as disparate. You know, going back to Akon.
Just call him Walnut.
Walnut. It's again that us versus them mentality. Is
cashew.
Someone's trying to control us, or you know, it's the evil dark forces in the world. Sorry, which comes down to
who said that?
Mr. Peanut.
Almond.
Mr. Peanut.
Are you guys just listing things I'm allergic to at this point?
Yeah.
Mr. Peanut. Mr. Peanut. But it is.
Mr. Peanut is classic, actually trademarked.
Classic conspiracy theory. Yeah. It's us versus them, isn't it?
But I think for me, it's that underlying thing of it's not just, you know, conspiracy theorists, blah, 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 anti-vax, whatever. You know, it's what Akon was talking about, you know, marrying it to this pro-black sentiment, this pan-African sentiment. It's that marrying of like anti-vax to cultural, like to ethno-cultural, sociological, like that intersection. I feel as though that's very, very potent. That's very, very dangerous. I guess you're exploiting someone's cultural identity, national identity, and to make them do something scary. It's that, you know, it's like saying, oh yeah, if you are, you know, if you're truly Asian, you shouldn't take diabetes medicine. Or, you know, if you're truly like Japanese, you definitely shouldn't be, you know.
Or the one that I think a lot of us might have come across, which is, well, people like us don't need antidepressants or to go to a therapist or anything like that.
It's that kind of stuff.
Hi everyone, I'm Dr. Faraha Asani and my PhD is in infection immunity. So I've done a lot of work based in innate immunity and adaptive immunity over, I'm not going to say how many years, but over a number of years.
Faraha, thank you so much for joining me today and answering even all of my questions that I have about all the things that we've just said. Essentially, you're here, so all the stuff we've said about Akon doesn't count as either slander or libel. I don't know which.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
I think the reason why I wanted to have you here, because number one, you know, you're an expert in these kinds of things, right? You know, well, last time we had
debatable.
Oh, look, the last time we had you on, you were talking about, you know, your previous work in clinical trials and how there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to drugs, you know, all of that really, really good stuff, you know, really, really clever sort of like expertise, wouldn't you say? There we go. Yeah. I guess to start, do black people need to be vaccinated?
Yes. Yes, that's a short answer. So if you've never received a vaccine and never been exposed to a particular disease or received the vaccine for that particular disease, it means that you're probably at risk of getting that disease. So for instance, if I had never received yellow fever and I traveled to a region with high prevalence of yellow fever, then I would be likely to get it. If you have had measles sometime in your life, measles is a disease that elicits memory in your body, so immunologic memory. So you're likely not to even need a vaccine later on in life, because if you encounter that infection again, you won't succumb to the disease. Does that make sense? So in saying that, I just want to say to Uncle Akon, you know, very respectfully, please, Uncle. And, you know, I do respect a lot of things that Uncle has done. And I'm saying that in, not in a sarcastic way at all, but to just give some respect. But please, Uncle, don't advise people, you know, don't advise our people not to receive the vaccine before they come onto the continent, because there's a two-way risk here for, you know, for several diseases. So let's just stay as healthy as possible, all of us, so that we can continue to do the good work that we all want to do.
It would be good, because I don't want to like go through like my 26 years of life, you know, 10 or 12 of them doing science and stuff, and to realize that maybe everything I knew was wrong and black people, in fact, don't need to be vaccinated and Akon was right. Okay, cool. But you've looked into like it from a cultural aspect, haven't you?
Kind of. I haven't done much.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Studying on it, but the New Scientist article that I wrote was because of observations that I've made over the years. And particularly, I was concerned with, you know, when people generalize anti-vaccine sentiment and also just thinking about that sentiment in general. So when we're talking about medical misinformation and culture, I think that we need to engage with this entire subject very sensitively and respectfully. And why I say this is because in the New Scientist article, you know, I talk about how there are communities around the world, particularly of Black people and people of color, that have a justified historical precedent for doubting or having concerns about Western, and I say Western in quotes, Western healthcare interventions. Because, you know, it's quite easy to find, even on Google or any search engines, case studies of Black bodies, brown bodies being used as spaces of experimentation. Of course, you know, very unethical studies. And one might be tempted to think that this was just hundreds of years ago, but a case that I specifically mention in the New Scientist article is the Trovan case, a 1996 trial of a drug for meningococcal disease that was carried out in northern Nigeria. And a couple of children died. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about that trial. You can find it online, you know, if you're interested to know more facts about it. What's very interesting about the case is that it was settled out of court for $75 million. So,
wow.
You know, make of it what you will. But my point is, this is just slightly over two decades ago. And this has been linked to the boycotts, you know, this basically the doubts and the fears that arose as a result of this horrible experience in northern Nigeria has been linked to the doubts that and the boycott of the polio vaccine in the early 2000s in Nigeria. So when you think about it, I mean, these are communities that have every reason to doubt a vaccine when they think about, you know, well, the white man or Westerners coming in here to inject our kids with Lord knows what. So that is actually that is anti-vaccine sentiment, but at the same time, it is justified. So this is why I say that, you know, and this is just one of many examples that we could give. So when we're talking about anti-vaccine sentiments and when people of color and Black people are raising their concerns, I think we need to engage with them respectfully and not be too quick to dismiss them as being ill-informed, because actually they're operating, you know, from from past experiences. So yeah, it's all justified. I don't believe that it's good enough for scientists just to say, oh, anti-vaxxers are stupid and, you know, this and that. Well, what are we going to do about it? Because a lot of the new wave anti-vaccine sentiment that, you know, sprung up just 2 decades ago was the fault of scientists and healthcare specialists. I'm talking about the specific team that was led by Andrew Wakefield, who did this whole science by press conference, you know, and made these links in quotes between the MMR vaccine and autism in 1998 that, you know, has led to devastating effects that with ripples that we're still feeling today. So that whole team was made up of scientists and healthcare specialists. And that has made a mess that has led to the resurgence of measles. It has led to a lot of doubts and fear and just a lot of unnecessary conflict. So this was a mess that was created by scientists and healthcare specialists. So who do we expect to fix it? I think we have to be more open and more intentional about our community engagement. This is why I also say that it's not good enough any longer just to label people, just for scientists and healthcare workers to label people as anti-vaxxers. Well, what are we going to do about it? You know, they have a justified reason to be afraid based on hearing words out of the mouth of a healthcare specialist. And obviously there are going to be doubts now about this vaccine, which is what we see. So there are there's no evidence at all, you know, of MMR being actually responsible for the causation of autism based on the scientific work that has been done. However, I feel that in order for us to engage with the community, we really need to do more work and we really need to be more accessible as scientists and be able to explain to people and kind of just not just suppress their doubts, but give them enough knowledge to gain confidence in vaccines. Does that make sense? So I don't think we're not going to kill anyone's doubts, but just by shutting them up. We need to engage with those doubts and we need to give them reason to have confidence in what we're trying to give to their kids and to many of them. So that's what I believe wholeheartedly.
Yeah, no, I think that makes it makes a lot of sense. You know, I said before that what really, really worries me is when you have these sort of second generation immigrants, you know, like myself or, you know, who are now having kids. And, you know, when your family's coming from places like Ghana, Nigeria,
yeah,
you know, India, Pakistan, I'm just going to start labeling lots and lots of countries that aren't like Western Europe. I can go on for a long time, South Africa, you know, Zamunda, Rhodesia,
Wakanda,
the Kingdom of Ceylon. You know, we can we can just keep going back in time with this. No, but like when that happens, when you have people coming from places around the world who aren't, you know, places that aren't necessarily up to the same level with sort of healthcare infrastructure as the UK or places of Western Europe, I guess my question is, are certain groups, certain community groups more at risk? Like, you know, if Sally from wherever, from the Cotswolds, is choosing to be anti-vax, is that the same? That doesn't really carry the same risk as Kwaku from Ladbroke Grove, whose auntie has just come back from Accra.
I hear you. I think I'm just a little bit cautious about, you know, using an ethnic divide in that way. Generally speaking, because our immune systems function with the same pathways, regardless of our ethnicity, I would say that everyone who doesn't receive a vaccine and who comes in contact with someone who may be, you know, carrying a strain or who is infectious, is at risk. So I don't think that, you know, in terms of this, I don't think that ethnicity plays a role, but I would say in terms of culture, because we find that certain countries are still battling with certain diseases that are vaccine preventable by the use of vaccines, and that's where this kind of scenario would come into play. But yeah, so basically there's that temptation to view countries on the African continent, countries of Southeast Asia, South America, there's that temptation to view them as, and are those populations as the risk factor. But, you know, as I say, a child who hasn't received perhaps the MMR vaccine in Nigeria, who comes to visit one of the European countries who's suddenly facing a resurgence of measles, that country is, you know, imposing a risk on this child. So we can look at it that way. And generally, you know, all our systems, all our immunological pathways function the same. So I would just say that everyone who can receive a vaccine should receive a vaccine. The reason I say can is because there are some people, for whatever reason, their systems can't handle receiving vaccines and they rely on herd immunity. And then there's another population, tiny population of individuals, and statistics will differ depending on the vaccine. But they're referred to, what happens with them is referred to as a vaccine failure. So they receive a vaccine, but they still succumb to illness. So the vaccine has failed in their system, you know. So these are individuals that will also rely on herd immunity for protection. So herd immunity is a phenomenon whereby if most people in a community receive a vaccine and thus are immune to a particular disease, then the tiny population of individuals who haven't received that vaccine will probably not succumb to that disease, because within that entire community, there will be no cases of that disease. Does that make sense? So if we say 99% of a population has received the vaccine against measles, there's no measles in that community, which means the 1% doesn't really need to receive it. And that 1% could be made up of people who, for health reasons, cannot receive vaccines, or could also be people who have received vaccines but, you know, succumb to that illness.
I did quite like the fact that you were saying that, a boy from Nigeria coming to Europe and he gets measles here. And it reminds me of Western Europeans going to Africa and colonizing it, like deepest, darkest Africa. Now it's deepest, darkest France.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you know that according to the global, I forget the name of the report, but it was released a few days ago by the Wellcome Trust. Yeah, it's interesting that you say France, because France has registered the highest vaccine mistrust in the world.
I saw in the news, I think it was this year or last year, that Costa Rica, there was a French boy. Yeah, he didn't have his vaccines for measles. And then he went to Costa Rica. And now him and his parents, they reintroduced measles back into Costa Rica, which had been previously free of measles for 5 years. To me, that's the worrying thing, where in the, you know, in Europe, we can, I guess you're further removed from it, from seeing people who've died of measles or people who've had their, you know, body racked by polio. But when you are coming in from, like you said, Southeast Asia, Africa, you know, all these places, you're closer to it.
And you know what's really interesting is, so I studied in South Africa, and whenever I would fly from Nigeria to South Africa and, you know, back and forth, I would always have to present what is known as a yellow fever card, which was proof that I had received the yellow fever vaccine. And it was just regulation. So everyone had to receive that vaccine. And I have never, you know, encountered any, I've not done much extensive traveling in Europe, but certainly when I came into the UK, you know, I did not have to present any vaccination cards. In fact, the only time that my vaccination records were requested was when I was doing an occupational health clearance before my PhD and then again before my postdoc. So I'm not entirely sure what the World Health Organization recommendations are for European countries, but I do think in order to protect countries that have already eradicated certain diseases, it is fair, you know, to start looking into vaccination records. Because, as you said, with the situation in Costa Rica, that is such a... Imagine, you know, turning everyone's lives topsy-turvy because of a family, a tiny family that wanted to, you know, have this trip. So in terms of protecting populations, I do think that we have to have more of an open conversation about vaccines and vaccination regulation. I know that that is probably bound to step on some toes, but it is a conversation that is worth having, because what we don't want is a repeat of what has happened in history. I mean, when you think about also with colonization, how diseases moved around, how tuberculosis was introduced to Southern Africa, when you think about things like that, again, it's this thing about history and us not wanting to repeat history and people having justified fears because of history. We don't want to go down that route again, you know?
That's right. Teach these white devils. Teach them. Teach them.
Oh, please don't say that.
No, but it's true. Like, you know, like you say, yellow fever. Like, I just looked my yellow fever card. I have to go get the yellow fever vaccine done now because mine ran out, I think, earlier this year. I think it's wild, you know, to think that when people generally stereotype, they think, like you were saying, Africa, Southeast Asia, all these places are less advanced and, you know, there are diseases everywhere, where in fact, there's actually a lot more regulation.
There is. And I think, you know, honestly, I think there's something else that we tend not to pay attention to. There's, again, another temptation of thinking, like you said, oh, these countries are more, you know, they struggle with disease more. Totally discounting geography. Because, I mean, we know that in Europe, nobody is really going to struggle with malaria, whereas in equatorial regions, you know, we do have malaria is prevalent. Mm. So I think when you think about it in terms of that, and then perhaps another analogy to use is the prevalence of snakes. You know, everybody knows, oh, in Australia, there are so many snakes, but nobody tends to say, oh, that means Australians are this and that. Well, white Australians, yeah. Do you get what I'm saying? But in terms of disease, there seems to be this underlying link between disease and people of color, which in itself is a very racist approach to things. And I think that is the reason that governs this school of thought of, oh my goodness, do we want to travel here? Oh wow, what's going to happen to us? And it's ridiculous.
Taking away from the science of it and the medical advice, but why do you think he said it? Like, why has he wrapped up, I guess, this his message in a pro-black sentiment?
See, so this is what really makes me very uncomfortable, because tying that up into a pro-black message, I'm thinking that there's so many black people that are scientists and healthcare specialists as well. And there's so many of us that are doing groundbreaking healthcare research. So I really think that, you know, it's very dangerous and harmful to link any sort of present day healthcare intervention immediately with anti-blackness. Yes, we know that there is a history, as I said earlier, there is a history of a lot of racism, medical racism, scientific and environmental racism as well. But I'm very uncomfortable with him doing that. I don't know what his motives are. But again, you see, I still want to respectfully engage with that because of our history, you know. It leads us many times to go certain ways and to say certain things. So I would rather say that the way to deal with this is to have a conversation with him and just to kind of thrash out what all those worries are and see how we can go forward. Because he's a man with a platform and has used his platform many times for fantastic initiatives. So it would be great for him to be able to openly speak about exactly what his motives are and why he said what he said. And then for black scientists and black healthcare workers, you know, to sit down and say, well, how about if we do it this way or that way, or this is what we're actually trying to do and this is how we're going to help our people, then maybe, you know, we could all come together on one page and then you could help us to achieve our aim.
Fraha, thank you honestly so much for coming here and explaining these things to me so I don't get done for slander or libel. I really appreciate you sharing your expertise to cover my ass.
You're welcome. I just want to say one thing really, really quickly. So all of the vaccines that you are recommended to receive before traveling to any country at all, please receive them, speak to your doctors about them. And for any UK-based individuals who are interested in knowing more, the Oxford Vaccine Group, they do a lot of fabulous work and they have an open access website where you can find out more information about every single vaccine on the UK childhood vaccination scheme.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.